Good morning. Good morning. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a way to turn there. So, if you haven't noticed, a lot of things have changed lately here in what we do and how we do it. And I think now makes that a really good time to reflect on why are we here at all? What is the goal of what we're doing here? Because now, more than I think ever before, what we do here is seen kind of as optional, right? It's seen as a luxury, and in some cases, it's even seen as something that's selfish. Is it? So, we've had to take a step back, right? We've had to reset. And I think now is the time to ask ourselves that fundamental question. Why are we here? What is the goal of what we're doing here? What is the purpose? And that's what I want to try and look at this morning. We're going to be, again, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, reading 11 through 13. So I'll go ahead and read that. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Let's pray. Father, we rely on you fully to understand your word and certainly to do it, God. So we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit on us in a real, tangible way to open up your word to us and to make it alive and to change us with it so that we would become more like your Son. God, help us to do that today. Amen. So I want to go through each of these and try and outline what it's talking about here. So verse 11, again, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." And this really speaks of the organization of the church. It says, "and he," and that's speaking of Jesus, right, who is the head of the church. He is the brain of the church. He is the eyes, the vision of the church. He is the voice and the mouth of the church, and he directs us, right? That's how it has to be. That's how God is very clear in how his church has to work. But what he does from there is he calls these people, and here specifically it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And we don't need to get into what exactly, how those are different, and what exactly they look like, or how they may or may not have changed over time. We can talk about that, after the service if you're interested. But the key here is that these are people that God has specifically gifted and called to be leaders in the church, specifically as it relates to teaching and expressing and exemplifying God's truth. These are kind of God's agents and his mouthpieces. And that's how he has organized the church. But then the key verse here is verse 12. It says, "to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ." So there's two things here it talks about, two actions. And this is really the objective of the church. When we are here, there are two things that it talks about that we should seek out and we should expect. But, and I want to go through those in detail, but before we go through that, I think it's important to touch on what is not the objective of the church. The objective of the church is not for us to come and get one single giant feast of God's truth for us to kind of survive off of and sustain ourselves on for the rest of the week. It doesn't work like that. It's not how God designed the church to work. And any more than one of these hot dogs that we're going to eat is going to be the only meal that we eat for the whole week. that is not how God designed it to work. And the church is not in any way a substitute for the daily discipline that God calls us to of time alone with Him, breathing in through His Word, breathing out through prayer. It's also not a substitute for the depth and accountability that comes with being part of a Bible study group. Those are all crucial things, and they're all very important. But if we're expecting what we do here once a week to allow you to survive spiritually throughout the whole week, you're really setting yourself up for failure. And you're asking something of God that He really has no intention of doing. So back to the things that it talks about that is the objective of the church. So the first one it says here is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So when it talks about saints there, that's speaking of every believer, every Christian, every person that's been born again. So there's no special designation here. That's you. And it says to equip for the work of ministry. Equip there, what it's really talking about is it's kind of a tool, right? A tool that we gain for external use, for use outside of ourselves. And that's one of the things that we are supposed to be able to gain when we come here. And when it talks about ministry, that's just simply a fancy word for service. So one of the objectives that we're supposed to get out of being here is to gain some sort of equipping, some sort of tool to use for the good of the world. And another thing that's really important to understand is that God primarily designed ministry to be the work not of the few, not of these, not primarily of these evangelists, pastor, teachers, but of the many, right? The regular Joes, me and you, the business person, the student, the parent, friend to friend. That is how God designed ministry to work in our world. And that's not because these few, these leaders, are not responsible for it or not capable of doing it. In fact, they are supposed to be the leaders that we look up to in those things. But it's the same concept when Jesus said, it's good if I leave the world so that the Holy Spirit can come, because the Holy Spirit can be in 1,000 different places at the same time, whereas the limitations that Jesus placed on Himself, He could only be in one place at one time. So that's one of the objectives. The other one here it talks about is for the building up of the body of Christ. So when it talks about building up, that specifically touches on something internally that happens, something that is gained for our own personal use and really for us collectively as God's church, because it goes on to talk about, you know, the body of Christ. So that's all of us collectively. So when we gather, every time we gather, this really should be our main goal, our kind of prime directive. When you come here, and if you to either gain something, to be equipped with something, to use on the lost, or to be built up in some way, to grow internally. And really, if we don't do that, it's objective fail. There's a lot of other great things about being part of God's church, but this, it tells us, is the number one goal of why we are here. And I think a good way to think of it is if you have ever been to a spy movie or a James Bond movie, they always have this scene, which I always think is the coolest part, where he goes to the headquarters and he gets all the cool like gadgets that they came up with for him to use. He gets like a pair of cufflinks that are actually proximity mines, or a tube of toothpaste that's actually anti-venom, or a monocle to wear around that's actually a subterranean drill. He gets all these weird things, and they always are very important for his mission, right? And what would be the point of that if he got this bag of these cool new things that he got and he left them at the headquarters, right? Or what if he got these things and then he forgot them in the car on the way home when he was trying to decide what to eat for lunch, right? Or if he left them on his nightstand that night, fell asleep, woke up, and then left them on that nightstand for the whole week when he went out to do his mission. All those, it would be wasted, right? All of those hours that those scientists dedicated to find these things would be wasted, and all of the euros that were invested in space-age technology to develop a bow tie that turns into a javelin, it would all be wasted. And I really think that that's kind of how God sees it, right? When we are here, we come here week in and week out, and we smile and we nod, and we even maybe take notes, but then we don't ever give it a second thought once we are through, right? And that's really the struggle and the focus that we have to put on ourselves. Plus, we're setting ourselves up for failure when we do that, because just like you never get to the end of a James Bond movie and say, oh, wow, he was given these shoelaces that are actually laser beams, and he never ended up having to use them. That's a shame. That's not how it works, right? Because the writer put a future need for him to use those things. And it's the same way with God and us, right? Because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who has prepared from the foundation of the world good works daily for us to do. And he knows what we're going to need. And what he does is he stirs these leaders that God has put in place and gifted to speak the specific truths, to equip us, to build us up in the ways that we are going to need very soon. So we have to realize that if you are here, that God has something for you to get out of it. He has something for you to be equipped with. He has something for you to be built up with, or maybe both at the same time. And that's because he knows that those are the tools, those are the things that we are going to need built up with for a battle that is coming sooner than we think. And the fact is that we are clearly now, I think, we're in a battle. And we've always been in a battle. It's just maybe easier to see now than it has been. But now is the time for us to start acting like we're in a battle. Romans 13:11-12 says, "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." God, let that be our perspective. So then lastly, verse 13 touches on the outcome of these things. So if we're correctly organized, if we're meeting this objective of being equipped and being built up, then this will be the outcome. And several of the following verses also dive deeper into this, but we'll just go through the first one, which is kind of a summary here. Verse 13, it says, "Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So there's a lot there as far as what the outcome is. But in short, it's that we grow, right? Just like a good, healthy tree, we have roots that dig down deep, and then we grow upward towards the sun. We become more like Christ, both individually and collectively, as a whole, as the whole church here. And this is the ultimate worthy goal to dedicate our lives to. Because if you think about it, we want to be like him because there is absolutely no one else worth being like. If you think about it, there's no one out here that it is worth trying to be more like. And we certainly don't want to be more like ourselves than we have to be. At least that's how I feel. He is the one that is worth that goal. He is the one perfect man. He is the one who has dwelling within him the fullness of the Godhead. He is the one image of the invisible God. He is the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, that died for the sins of the world. And he did that even while we were still sinners. He is the one that went out and sought us as sheep gone astray. And he brought us from death to life through his sacrifice. And he went to the Father to prepare a place for us. And he is coming back any day now to come and get us, to wipe away every tear, to take away every pain, to finally allow us to be in his presence and to share in his rest. He's worth it. He is worth that dedication to take what we get here and use it in our lives. And he is worthy of it. And he's waiting. He's waiting for us to take on that call. So I guess that's our challenge today, to make sure that when you come here, when we come here, that we're meeting that objective, so that we can have that amazing outcome of becoming like the one perfect Son of God. So let's pray. Father, we are totally indebted to you. We are totally unworthy of all that you have to offer, but through your surpassing mercy and grace, you have made a way for us to go from death to life through the finished work of Jesus, Lord, and help each of us take that more seriously today than we did yesterday, God, and to be moved to action by it. Help us to open our eyes to the incredible need for us to be equipped, to be built up, Lord, so that we can put the truths that you lay on our hearts week in and week out to use, God, so that we might be more like you and more pleasing to you, God, so that we can make you, our Father, proud, God. Give us the strength to do that. Give us the energy to do that, and give us the passion to know that it is all worthwhile because you are our worthy aim, Lord. Help us to become more like you today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.